You know, because what you want to do is to say, I don't know when this ends, but I can control how I impact today and the choices I make today.
You're listening to the Dare to Be Different podcast, a podcast for people who want to live an extraordinary life. On this week's episode, Joe sits down with Michelle Croyle to talk about how to stay mentally healthy during this time. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Dare to Be Different podcast. My name is Joe Altieri. I am here with my special quarantine guest, Michelle Croyle. How are you today, Michelle?
I'm doing good, Joe. Thank you. Feeling really good, actually, because I was just sprung
quarantine. You are the only person I know, that I personally know, that has actually had to have the test. So I heard that they pretty much like touch your brain. Is that the case?
I don't think they go that far, but it is really uncomfortable. Yeah, you drive in, at least around here, you know, in Pittsburgh, you drive in and they pull you through a tent. You stay in your car. They tell you to put down both of the front windows. The lady takes your information, hands you a paper to sign, and then she says, keep the pen, because I guess they don't want to have people touching the same pen. So I have a free Allegheny Health Network pen now. but I didn't want to touch it because, you know, now I'm like, oh my gosh. So I threw that on the floor in the back seat and thought, well, we'll clean it later or throw it out. But I appreciated that. And then they came over to the other side and they said, blow your nose, and then they didn't give you anywhere to put that, so that also went on the floor in the back seat and in the back. And I was just like, I don't know, this is like really odd, and so I just followed her instructions and I was done in like not even a minute. She just took a swab just like they do for strep throat. Right. They do it up each nostril, and it's very unpleasant. But then you're done. They give you some papers that I also threw on the floor in the back seat and drove off. And they said stay quarantined, and it would take a week to a week and a half to get the results. But fortunately, only 2 days later, they called me this morning and I got the negative results. So I'm sprung from my bedroom. So my vacation's over.
Well, I have to imagine that even though, you're quarantined, you're stuck watching Netflix or doing reading books, in your room, because you don't want to pass it on to your family or do anything like that.
Yeah, right, exactly. Psych reruns and dinner left outside the door. Yeah.
But I have to imagine, and this kind of leads into our topic for today, because, you're a mental health professional and you've been on the podcast before. And so it's thank you so much for coming again.
Yeah,
because
I love it.
That your advice is going to be really, really timely for a lot of listeners and for me as well. But I have to imagine, as you're laying there for 2 days thinking maybe this could be a week, week and a half, like, oh my goodness, I could be really, really sick. Like this thing that is killing people, I could have brought it. It could be here with my family. That has to be stressful.
Yeah. So for me, I mean, for most people, I'm guessing it probably really is. For me, it wasn't then that it was stressful. It was when the fever spiked. So, Monday nights, I was really down all day and muscle fatigue and everything. And I thought I just overdid it the day before. But Monday night, when my husband was like, you're kind of really, I can tell you have a high temperature. He took the temperature and only 101.2. So it wasn't like I was really alarmed. But then when I ended up having immediate chills followed by immediate like sweating and heat and everything, I'm going, oh my gosh, I actually got it. How in the world did I get it? We've been so careful and self-quarantined for a month. So so that's when the panic set in, not so much more about just what does this mean now? Because, I don't know what this looks like as far as, is my family going to get infected? Is this going to be a long drawn out process? Am I going to end up on a ventilator? All those things go through your mind.
Your head starts running.
It does. Mm-hmm. So after I talked to the doctor and, he was like, okay, get the test. And, everything kind of settled down and it became you know, I was just like, okay, I'm going to treat this as a vacation, because I started to feel better the next day. So it was obviously some other sort of infection. And so I'm really, really grateful for that. But I think, you know, in that the mental kind of stuff is like, you know, our systems, I think, you know, last time that I was on with you, you know, we talked about, oh, there's not really a lot of life or death threat in Pittsburgh or Monroeville or Murraysville.
I know. How ironic is that to go back and listen to that one?
I know. People would be like, what? You know, yeah, it's a totally different time frame. It's only a couple of months ago.
Right.
And, but at the time, you know, I think I might have explained that, you know, there's trauma responses. We have the fight or flight response. And so mm-hmm. it's really totally natural and normal to, like, you feel a threat coming. And so all of these chemicals start preparing you to either fight against it or run away from it. And when it's something that's the unknown, it gets even scarier and really hard, because we don't like the unknown. We don't like limbo. Sure. We don't like not knowing. So that not knowing in and of itself makes our brains kind of go into overdrive. What's the solution? What do we do next? How do we handle this? And in this situation, you know, we've not had a pandemic in our lifetime before, so we don't know. And we've never seen this right. before. So we don't know. So, you know, it's normal to be stressed. And it's normal to have the anxiety.
Yeah. So I'd like to talk about two things. So, and maybe you can help us through these two things. So the first is, you know, I'm not a hypochondriac by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I don't look for reasons that I think I'm sick, but every time I cough, because I've had respiratory problems in the past, every time I cough, my mind immediately goes there. And again, you've actually dealt with this because you had to go get a test. You know, so how do we combat that?
I'm sorry, I just laugh, because leave it to me. I'm usually the one with the fluky whatever. So like, well, at least I'll know what the test is like, if nothing.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, so how do we, you know, how do we deal with the, you know, again, that innate response that we have where, number one, we think we're going to get it, we think that we have it, we think, you know, so there's that side of things that I think a lot of us, especially a couple weeks ago, went through. I know I did, where it was like, oh my goodness, we need to, you know, be hyper vigilant and let's lock ourselves in the basement. We're not even going to go upstairs. I'm being extreme, but that was, you know.
It feels like that, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, so we have that side of it. But then from the other side, we have this, you know, I don't think I'm going to get it. I've gone past that. I don't think I'm going to get it. But there's a lot of other stressors. People are out of jobs. We know that the economy has suffered. We know that life is different. And so, and on top of it, we are stuck with people that we're normally not stuck with. And I love my family, and we actually get along really well. We've done very, very good through this whole thing. Yeah. But we're not used to being together 24/7.
Right.
And
right.
So we also have that little bit of insanity that has come into a lot of people's lives, where it's like, hey, now they're teaching their kids, they're, you know, they're working from home, all of these things. And so I think that we might need some advice on how to stay sane through that side without, you know, necessarily running to the liquor stores, which in Pennsylvania aren't open.
Although they're opening for online now. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That's what the world needs, is more alcohol in the midst of anxiety. You know, they're actually expecting, at the end of this, unfortunately, they're expecting a lot more domestic abuse cases and divorces to come because of it. And a lot of people to have actually had some issues with their sobriety and such. So yeah, I'm happy to talk about how to stay mentally healthy in the midst of this, because it is a challenge. And there's a reason that, you know, that those are the outcomes that the mental health community is kind of afraid are going to take place, because we're not meant to be cooped up. We're not meant to be in one location and, you know, just kind of in each other's space constantly, and the unknown and the fight or flight response, and then the financial pressures, and then the kids are home, and then the, you know, education and the stressors there, and all the things that are canceled, like everything you just mentioned. It piles up, and it's that volcano. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, I can take one thing. Okay, so like, I've been a homeschool mom. Mm-hmm. I'm about to work myself out of a job after this spring. I'm totally done. I actually don't teach anymore anyhow, because, you know, my kids are pretty much self-learners. And,
right.
But So I'm working myself out of a job, but the homeschool part of it in normal life, I totally have this. But if I had sent my kids off to school, like most people, you know, that aren't used to having their kids at home, and they came back and I have my normal routine, and on top of that, now I have the responsibilities of kind of supervisor, teacher, as well as parent. So then there's the disciplinarian, there's the instructor, there's the stress of, am I doing well for the school? You just added another layer. So, I mean, like homeschool is one thing, but then now I have these extra responsibilities. I'm answering to other people. I didn't volunteer for this task. That's the difference. Like I volunteered for the task, and this was thrust on people, right? And right. So everybody has their choices, and it's you know, totally what's best for their family. But so you can take one choice. That's a difference, is that this is out of our choice. And then another factor is another layer of stress. And then you take on that financial uncertainty or something like that. So then you have, right. Okay, so I have to be working. So now where's this extra time going to come from? Because mm-hmm. I have to put the time in with my kids. And
yeah, I thought I was busy before. Uh-huh. And now this is a pout on top. And yep. Like, where is that going to come from? Yeah,
so
I get
that. See
that
volcano kind of going.
Yep.
And then, you know, somebody brushes against you wrong at the dinner table, and forget it. All the stuff, you know, erupts out of that volcano. So that's just an example, but that's what really happens is we, you know, we can take one thing, especially if it's within our choice, but things yep. beyond our choice. And a lot of this is, we didn't choose to lose our jobs. We didn't choose to lose our daily routine. We didn't choose to have to stay in our homes. We didn't choose to have to clean our hands a million times a day. So it's like even more when you add that. It's like a volcano supercharged, and right. It's natural that it feels like erupting. And so that's where people can determine what they want to do, what choices they're going to make. And, you know, that's where some of the anger and domestic abuse is going to come from. It's where some of the, you know, alcohol abuse and drugs, you know, falling back is going to come from. But, you know, if you can kind of, put some of these mental health tips in and skills in, it can help you weather it better. So the first thing is to realize that it is not your normal, right? And it's a temporary situation. Then put the pieces in. What choices do you have? So that's where I would start. Start with what choices you actually do have within your control. And then
so
build
the,
on from there.
The fact that it's temporary, but we don't know when it ends, how do we deal with that? Because that's one thing that I do struggle with a little bit, which, because I'm very self-aware, and I know, like, hey, look, this is, you know, this is going to come to an end. It has to, like, eventually life will get back to quote unquote normal. You know, the Steelers will play someday again, you know, yeah. that type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, but not knowing when actually causes stress. Do you have any tips for that? And I kind of put you on the spot. You probably weren't prepared with that one, but
no.
any suggestions?
You know what? I actually thought about this, because I've been doing really, really well self-isolation before the couple of days in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. I've actually been thinking of it as pretty nice, but I'm also going stir crazy sometimes. And
right.
We haven't like rubbed against each other in, you know, a little bit more agitated ways. But I actually thought about it, and can compare it to, kind of when I, you know, when I, was on bed rest when I was pregnant.
Okay.
I feel like I have total freedom now, because like I can move about the house, I can go outside, I can take a drive in the car, I can go walk at the park, as opposed to being on right. my left side for an unknown period of time, which, you know, at the time we didn't know how long it was going to be. And I went on bed rest probably sometime in the end of the second trimester. So, so it was like, that was my first foray into the unknown, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the end date, and I didn't know, and I couldn't physically move, so there was like very little that I could choose, and so this is actually feels like, okay, I've been here before, sort of, but there's more flexibility to it. And so what I found from back then to now, and that I'm keeping now, is don't count the days. Because I remember, you know, being on bed rest, and I'd be like, okay, I just have to get to this due date. So it's this many days, this many weeks. And I made a chart with all these boxes, and I'm like ticking them off, like, okay, we're getting closer, we're getting closer. That's going to drive you nuts. You don't want to, you don't want to look ahead and say, okay, here's the end date. So if you're trying to say, okay, this is going to be done by the end of April, or this is going to be done by the end of May, you're setting yourself up for depression, you know, because what you want to do is to say, I don't know when this ends, but I can control how I impact today and the choices I make today. So you want to look at, it doesn't matter if it ends 2 years from now. I would prefer, of course, that it doesn't, but even if it did, I don't want that to change how I live right now, today, and what I can control, because really the quality of life right now is what we make it, you know, so build into those things, choices that are beneficial to you, you know, trying to have some time by yourself each day if you need it, so that you're not kind of like rubbing up against people all the time, letting your kids have some time on their own, keeping in contact with people, social connections, maybe volunteering in some way, you know, sending a card to somebody, you know, just kind of keeping the different areas of life going as much as possible, even though you're at home.
I read a book that had an interview with a POW who was in the POW camp for 11 or 12 years or something like that. He was one of the only survivors that came out of it, and he said he was kind of being asked how he did it and things like that, and really his advice was exactly what you're saying. Don't like know that you're coming out of it, but don't have any expectations. And he said that the people that didn't survive were he calls them the optimists, but they were the people that were like, we're going to be out of here in a month. And then when a month comes and they're not out of there, they completely got mentally destroyed. And then, oh, we'll be out of here by Christmas, or, you know, those types of things.
That's interesting. I hadn't heard of that, but that's good because he would know even better, you know,
sure.
he's lived it in prisoner of war. Yeah. That's even, that trumps bed rest. That's good.
Yeah. But it's just interesting that you say that, like let's deal with today. Let's deal with what we can do today and let tomorrow worry about tomorrow.
Exactly.
And because ultimately in so many ways right now, and this is hard for humans, this is hard for me, to be powerless, because we really, really, really are. For the first time in my, you know, my history on this planet, I can look at something real. And again, I know that we have, in some ways we have this vision of power that we have over our lives, which is probably not real, but this is the first time where
the illusion.
Something has, yeah, it has been imposed on me to say, you cannot, you will not, and this is the way that it is, and you have no control over it. So we just have to figure out the things that we do have control over and affect those things on a daily basis, not trying to look so far out. That's good. That's really good.
Yeah, exactly. Because you can find enough strength for individual tasks of the day. You know, you can say, okay, today I'm feeling, you know, more ambitious. And so maybe I'll take on an extra project around the house or with work or whatever it is. But you can also, you know, realize that you are still in a stressful time. And so maybe you just need a nap, or maybe you need some time alone or a walk or whatever by yourself. Right. You know, what you said about the people trying to put an end to the time, right? They're kind of making a mental leap in that it's almost like, I can't be okay. I can't enjoy today because it's not normal.
Right.
Well, you're going to set yourself up for a whole lot of days that aren't very pleasant, because no day is normal. It might feel typical, it might feel repetitious, or feel like there's a routine that we can control. But in reality, you know, everybody goes through hard times. There's either, you know, there could be medical conditions or financial conditions or pandemics, you know, whatever.
Right.
and if you wait till tomorrow to be happy, till you're kind of sprung in the ideal conditions, even in everyday life, you know, you'll never be happy because you have to do that every day.
Yeah, Alicia and I did a podcast right when all this kind of started. So as you know, we put it out a couple weeks ago, and we just talked about the fact that, you know, one of the things that we talk about on our podcast is being adventurous, and for better or for worse, this is life today. This is part of our adventure. We can't stick our heads in the sand. You can't pull the covers up over our heads for the next month or 2 months or however long this lasts.
You can do it for a few hours one day. That's totally
absolutely.
You know, and you probably want to.
Yeah, you can't go, you know what, it's time out on life. This is not life. Life starts when the governor says we're allowed to go back to normal. Yeah. This is life right now. So whether it's biking or enjoying time with your family or whatever the case may be, you have to live today. So that's really, really good.
That's right. You know, because if I had been taken out Monday night, you know, as my mind went to, right? Oh gosh, what if it's the end? There's so much I still want to do. You know, if I had been taking that as my viewpoint that like, I can't get sick. Oh my gosh, I just can't get sick. It would have taken away from, you know, if that had been my only focus, or when are we done? I would have missed putting together a really cute Disney puzzle with my family that we then framed and put up in our newly decorated dining room, because we finished that off during this time. Put the picture up during this time. I would have missed the walk in the park with my daughters. I would have missed, some family games on Easter and enjoyed cooking together. And because I would have, it's where your focus is, you know. There's a reason, you know, the Bible tells us to think on what's good, pure, lovely, and true, because what you feed yourself is what comes in and what, you know, what things grow from. So you want to put things in that are helpful thoughts rather than things that can just kind of cause more anxiety or uncertainty.
So let's talk about, you know, we have a couple more minutes. Let's talk about how we don't kill our loved ones during this time.
I love it.
You know, and again, my family's been doing really well, but we've had some tense moments. I'm sure some families are doing better than us. Some families are doing worse, but you know, there's some tension there. Any thoughts there as far as not to kill each other?
I love it.
Or at least not want to kill each other. How's that? Maybe that's a better way of putting it.
You know, I think it probably one of the best things to do, you know, besides taking that time away when you need it. So, you know, again, I learned this from homeschooling is, you know, there are days where you just say, okay, today, that's enough. We're done for today. Right. We're going to go, you know, run through the Taco Bell drive-thru or whatever, you know, and you can do that. You just have to kind of say, okay, you know what? We're like beating our heads against a wall here today. Everybody to their own corners, you know, get what you need. And, you know, make sure that everybody is kind of taking care of themselves. So, you know, if people aren't eating properly or sleeping properly, they're going to be more edgy. If there's financial stress, there's going to be more edgy, you know. So what you can do to kind of put these building blocks into place so that each person is taking care of themselves as much as they can control. And then using good communication skills. So taking time out when you need it, but, you know, being able to verbalize that and say, you know what, I'm really feeling stressed out for whatever reason right now. And I know you're not trying to get on my nerves, but I'm really getting aggravated. Right. I'm about to blow. I want to keep this good. Do you mind if I go, you know, upstairs or downstairs or take a walk? Or would you mind talking to me later about this? Because I don't think that you're trying to start a fight. And if they are trying to start a fight, you know, then again, communication skills. Hey, it seems like maybe you're on edge and you might be looking to kind of get that aggression out and kind of feel like you're trying to do that with me. I'd really rather we don't fight right now. Like, how do you want to handle this? Do you want to talk about what's going on? Do you want to play a game? Do you want to like leave the house for a few minutes and take a walk out in the yard? You know, putting to words what's going on. I always say it's like thinking about what you're thinking and putting putting your needs, verbalizing your needs, putting it into words so that the other person can know there's nothing wrong with what you're feeling, which feeling is totally natural and normal. So, okay, right now I'm feeling stressed. And, you know, my husband has this way. I love him dearly and we have a great relationship and, you know, our whole family does. But so we're having a great time, but there are times when my stress level is really high. That's when he, you know, and he's always goofy, but that's the time where he'll make goofy voices or he'll whatever. And if I don't tell him, hey, my stress level is really high and those like your jokes are just like really sending me over the edge because I'm trying to be serious here, you know, and you're like joking, then, you know, I'm going to erupt and it's going to be bad. And normally I totally love his goofy voices. I love his humor. You know, he's a great guy. But when my stress level is really there. So we've learned where I just say, hey, you know, hun, I see that you're having a good time. I'm really glad you are. And I would love to join you, but I'm not there right now. Would you mind if we're just quiet for a few, you know?
Right.
And then he goes, oh, okay. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'll be quiet, you know? And then later, you know, we're back to normal and he can be his normal self and, you know, I could be my normal self, but I have to put words to that or how's he ever going to know if I just lash back and go, would you knock it off already? You know, it's just going to go bad. It's going to go into a fight and everybody's in the household's going to be miserable. And it just, you know, so just try to control your own needs and verbalize them.
Yeah. I've learned that we have to have a lot of grace with each other normally. And now we have to have an even, an exponential amount of grace with each other because, you know, I feel that I'm the only one going through stress because it's my stress and that's the most important thing to me. You know, somebody else's stress. And as much as I love my wife and I love my children, my stress is most real to me, not theirs.
It's but the most they present. Have,
it is the most present, yeah. Yes. That's a much better way of putting it than I did, but they're going through just as much stress that is their own stress, and it's just as real to them and just as present to them, and I have to give them a certain amount of grace that is not something that I would have had to do a month ago or 6 weeks ago or whatever. We didn't have the same amount of stress, and so. I found that really important. And then not taking somebody else's stress personally, you know, as right. my wife is stressed out or I'm stressed out. We try to make it really, we really try to stress the importance of not taking stuff personal. You know, if I am distracted because of something at work, and she comes in and tries to get my attention, she's going to try not to take it personally that I don't necessarily give her the attention that she needs right now. Or from the other side, I have to go, I'm really distracted with this, but she must be going through something and needs a little bit of attention right now. So I'm going to, again, give her that grace and reciprocate and put that, you know, give her that attention.
So
that's not always easy to do. It's so much. So that's easy to say.
Yeah.
Very difficult to do.
In the moment. Yeah. Tim and I are marriage, you know, my husband and I are marriage coaches and, we tell people all the time, you know, we practice this, we teach it, but you know, in the heat of the moment when the anxiety's, anger's high or, you know, the stress is high, we're like, oh gosh, I don't want to use my communication skills. I don't feel like it. All I want to do right now is kind of win the fight. And so, you know, nobody's immune to it. It doesn't matter how much you, you can say it. It's putting into practice when you do it. And that's exactly right. What you hit on is it's not going to be 100%. You know, we're not perfect, infallible human beings. So give yourself grace too. You know,
that's really good.
We need to give ourselves grace. The thing is to don't be afraid to say you're sorry and apologize and, you know, to make amends when things have gone wrong. And to also, you know, just if you can get out of yourself and, you know, because it is so present, what we're going through, we're with it all the time. And, you know, so we just kind of need to say, okay, this is where I am right now, but in their world, what's that like? And how can I understand that, empathize with it? You know, it might be, hey, I see you're having a rough time right now. Do you want to be left alone, or is there anything I can do?
Right.
And give people a choice, because again, we're coming back to that. What choices do we have? We have the choice of how we think. We have the choice of how we respond. We have the choice of what we say. We have the choice of identifying our needs and putting them to words. So, you know, it really does come down to seeing that there's a lot in our lives that we can't control, but there's a lot that we can make positive choices about.
Yeah, that's so good. So I assume that, you know, that your practice and your clients and stuff like that are keeping you busy through this. But in case somebody does want to reach out and maybe get some tools and things like that, how can they find you?
Yeah, so they can find me at michelle@abundantfreedomcounseling.com.
Great. And do you, so I assume that you do some stuff like via Zoom or whatever to help people through stuff?
Everything right now is through Zoom. I do Zoom for all of my like things like this and different colleague meetings and stuff. But I do, it's called DoxyMe, and it's a privacy compliant, medical privacy compliant portal. And so it's just like you and me talking to each other, but there are other clients I do just on the phone. So everything right now is virtual, but I had done about half of my practice virtually before anyway. So now it's just all virtual for now. And people seem to like it. They don't have to worry about it, you know, getting germs or coming in anywhere. And it's, you know, it's comfortable. The worst they have to do is, you know, maybe like throw their cat out of the bedroom or something like that when we meet. And now I actually, I'm on in two insurance panels now, which are Highmark and UPMC. So if that makes it easier for people to afford it too, a lot of them are now paying for telehealth or virtual medicine.
Great. Yeah, we'll definitely put we'll put your link up on, you know, on our website and stuff like that to, you know, or on the podcast video and stuff. Yeah. And then also, as you had mentioned, you and your husband are counselors, and that's what, Marriage Guy and Gal? Is that?
Yeah, Marriage Guy and Gal. Yeah, we do marriage coaching. Yeah, yeah. So we help people with communication or pre-marriage preparation, things like that.
Fantastic. Well, I hope that you're willing to take some more time and talk to us some more through this and even
Absolutely.
In the future, because I know I feel better after talking to you. So,
oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad.
It's like free counseling for me. This is fantastic.
Anytime. Totally. No, it's fun. I love talking with you too.
Yeah. Well, thank you again so much for everything, and stay healthy.
Thanks,
you know, wash your hands. And for all of our listeners out there, thank you so much for being a part of our podcast. I hope that you got something amazing out of this, some little tips and tricks on how to stay sane and not kill our loved ones. Please share this with somebody that needs it. I know that the advice that Michelle gave today, everybody needs this right now. So share this. Let some other people have the advantage of listening to what we have going on. So thank you so much. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we will catch you next time.